This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 11th, 2020. The Memorial of St. Martin of Tours by Father William Doc Holliday.
He poured upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior and in the Holy Spirit. The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It is an interesting thing to think about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. I always point out every time I think of the Holy Spirit or speak of Him, the fact that we don't appreciate the substantial nature of the Holy Spirit. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. And I actually got called to task one time for someone who, it was well read and everything, because I emphasized the fact that the Holy Spirit is not an emotion. The Holy Spirit is a person. And this person, again, he was very well read in theology. He had a degree in theology. He said, please don't ever say that again. He said, that's foundational Catholic teaching, that the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. And St. Thomas Aquinas does not say just merely that he is love. He is the substantial love between the Father and the Son. He is ever proceeding from the Father and the Son because he is, again, not an emotion, but the substantial love. He is of substance. He is a person. So yes, indeed, he is love, but we have to understand the fact that there is a reality that's present there that's not in what we generally define as the emotion of love. All this being said is we can see what the Holy Spirit does within each every one of us. We can actually objectively participate in and manifest the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what we're called to do. This is our practical Catholic life, to manifest what the Holy Spirit does, because He changes us. The Holy Spirit actually changes us. We are at the lavers of baptism, and the water pours out, regenerating us, infusing us with the Holy Spirit. It is when the fire of our Catholic life is initiated. It is the spark. It is a spark, and as that spark is fanned through the fuel and the breath of our sacramental life and our life in prayer and our life of reading Scripture and here, the embers start to glow brighter and brighter, and the fire of the Holy Spirit wells up within us, and then we start to manifest in a real sense, in an objective sense, what He does in us. So when we speak of the Holy Spirit working and renewing us, it is not an abstraction. It is something real. St. Paul, in the first reading today from his letter to Titus, he says that Titus needs to remind everyone to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for honest work, to speak evil of no one. All these things really kind of go contrary to our nature. We usually agree with rulers and authorities if they agree with us. Let's open our eyes to current events, okay? There's, for all intent and purposes, half the country are ecstatic and half the country are in, let us just say, the doldrums, okay? Well, 4 years before this, guess what? The other half of the country was in the doldrums, and the other half of the country was glorying and everything. We as Catholics are different. It's not that we shouldn't be bugged by this, that, or the other thing, but we should not let it interfere with our day-to-day interior lives. It should not be depressing for us. It should not bring us to the floor because we didn't get our way in this, that, or that, because check it out. Jesus Christ is King and King of Lord of Lords, and He is on His throne right now. He was 4 years ago. He was 400 years ago. He was 4,000 years ago. And should He tarry for 1,000 years from now, He will still be on His throne. He will still be reigning. And whatever goes down on here, is just something that Catholics at the time will have to deal with. Okay, we are in this world, but we are not of the world. We approach things like that to have that kind of a mentality and outlook because of the Holy Spirit. How come some of your family members and friends go, aren't you just outraged at this? Aren't you? I hope not. Okay, like I said, can we be bumming a little bit on this side or the other thing? We get, okay, this side or gas prices might go up or this might happen or this might happen. Yeah, just wait till the next time. All right, that's how it usually works, these little cyclical things. But at the end of the day, we need to have a higher view of things. As annoying as it is down here, we should have our eyes focused on something higher. There are a lot of bad things that could happen. But guess what? They're happening in this world, not in the next. Jesus Christ is in charge of what goes on there, and it is perfect. There are no more tears. There is no more angst between people. It's going to be really glorious. We just need to keep our eyes focused on that. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. It actually changes our outlook on things. It's not a matter of, a lot of people think, these Catholic people, and they go to church all the time, but, this person died in their family or they got cancer or something like that. It doesn't mean that things get better for you in this world. It means that you deal with them completely differently, that you don't let them take you down, that you deal with them, and if you are going to, you deal with them till you die, and then you get eternity with the Blessed Mother and our Lord. This is what we look forward to, and the only way that you can live like that in this world is through the Holy Spirit. That's when you can tell if a person's faith is real or not. And today is the memorial of St. Martin of Tours. St. Martin of Tours, generally most people know the story about St. Martin. He was converted because, he was a cavalry officer and he's riding through a town and there was some poor beggar there. And he, just in his own human nature was like, man, that guy suffered. So he takes his sword and cuts his cloak in half, gives half to the beggar, and he gets a vision of Jesus Christ. That by clothing that poor naked beggar, he did it for Jesus Christ. Conversion experience, a tremendous conversion experience. But as the Holy Spirit works in him, because he didn't stop being a soldier that day. And a little footnote on this, you don't have to stop being a soldier if you're a Catholic. There are many good soldiers, Marines and airmen that are Catholics, okay? But in St. Martin's life, the Holy Spirit moved to where he became somewhat pacifistic. And he's an officer in the cavalry, but he doesn't want to fight anymore. But he knows passages such as this, like be submissive to the rulers and authorities. So what does St. Martin do? There's a battle about to happen. And St. Martin's, I'm a Christian, I cannot fight. And he had something going for him. This is after the Catholic faith became a legitimate religion. And so they wouldn't burn him at the stake for being a Catholic or saying that. But he says, I can't fight. So basically what the government did, and because a lot of the military, they were not Catholics. They were still generally the god that the military in Rome worshipped was Mithra. Most of them were like that. So they didn't like at all that he said he was a Catholic and he couldn't fight. So what do? They court-martial him for cowardice. And at his court-martial, St. Martin looked at them and said, I am no coward. I just cannot take another human life because I'm a Catholic. He says, but, and this is what the Holy Spirit will do to make him submissive to rulers and authorities. He goes, I will take my place at the head of the troop. I just will not be armed. That's unnatural. Most people just, they don't want to fight. They desert. They go away or something. He stands as court martial. He's waiting for whatever judgment they will come down with. He says, I'll ride in front of my troops without a weapon. They're like, okay. Well, the battle didn't happen. Holy Spirit working and saving St. Martin. But that was what he was willing to do. And again, that's an unnatural thing. You would go into battle without a weapon? That's ridiculous. There have been many Catholics who have. There are many popes and bishops who have rode in front of armies before with a crucifix in their hand. This is what the Holy Spirit will allow you to do. I'm sure there's a lot of bishops and popes elsewhere. You guys go out and do your crusades and stuff. I'll sit back here and pray for you. Others do unnatural things like ride around in battle without weapons because the Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is substantive. The Holy Spirit is existential. This is what we have to appreciate, this reality of the whole thing. So when we think about the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't just be thinking about, you know, this ethereal something, this force that does good things in us and is basically our conscience and things like that. No, the fruits of the Holy Spirit make us different than we were before. And they bear more and more and more fruit as we live longer and longer. So this is what we need to appreciate. This is why we deepen our faith. This is what St. Paul's talking about when he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if the Holy Spirit is truly in you, going to Mass on Sunday isn't enough. You want to study your faith. You want to delve into it. You want to go to Mass more and more often. Because if you truly know what you're receiving, if you think about it for a second, we say that we're receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of God Almighty himself at the Eucharist. Well, you know, once a week's good enough for me. No, if you truly believe that, you want it as much as you can. Now, most people, because of their work schedule, they can't make daily Mass, but you'll try to make a couple more throughout the month, okay, because you want it more, because the Holy Spirit is drawing you. The Holy Spirit makes it real for you. You're cooperating with the graces. You're not just sitting back with like a baby bird with his mouth open waiting for things to get dropped in there. This is what we need to appreciate about what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. This is what we see in the gospel today. We've got 10 lepers. Obviously, 9 of them were Jews, the chosen people of God, and one was a Samaritan, okay, a foreigner, one who's not even one of the chosen people. But the Holy Spirit moves in him and has him come back and give thanks to our Lord. Our Lord looks and says, where are the other 9? Were there not 10? And only one come back is this foreigner? Well, Jesus, that's not very charitable. He's speaking objective truth. He's looking at his apostle. Look at this. This guy, he's not circumcised. He's not this. He doesn't worship in Jerusalem. He's got for all intent and purposes, we looked at it as a false religion. And he comes, why? Because the Holy Spirit moved in his life. The Holy Spirit moved in his life, he was healed, and then he cooperated with the graces of the Holy Spirit, and he came back and did obeisance and worshiped Jesus Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit did to him. He didn't even know who went. They're talking about this rabbi who can heal people. And then when he was really healed, he realized and he started cooperating with the graces. And our Lord, that last statement that our Lord makes in the gospel is really, really kind of pointed. You don't want to miss that one. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Notice he says that to him. Where are the other 9? Are they healed from their disease? Yes. Are they well? No, they're not. Jesus pronounces wellness on this foreigner who cooperated with the graces of the Holy Spirit after a work that he did. So this is there are a lot of people out there who gain benefits from the presence of our Lord. They gain benefits, but they're not necessarily well when it comes to our Lord and their relationship with him. The only one that we know of that had a solid relationship with him at the end of this gospel passage is the Samaritan, not the 9 chosen people of God. This really is an indictment of people who, I'm okay because I'm baptized, and I go to Mass when I can. No. Okay, are you receiving some benefits from our Lord? Yes. Were you healed by him in your baptism from original sin and actual sin? Yes. Are you well? No. This is what we have to glean from the Holy Spirit speaking to us through Scripture. I'll end with that one. These stories that we read, okay, these narratives, everything in Scripture is God speaking to us. It is inerrant and infallible truth, every single word of it, even those that we're uncomfortable with in this day, like the things that talk about judgment, about the exclusivity of our Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in him and in him alone. These are the things that are truths, and if you cooperate with the grace of the Holy Spirit, you believe them. And you're not one of the ones that walk around like your faith is a salad bar. I like this, I don't like that, I'll have triples of that, but I won't have any of that over there. No, this is not how we approach our faith. We approach our faith the way the Holy Spirit guides and directs us, but we need to cooperate with those graces. This is what we need to understand. This is his work. This is how you know whether it's real or not. You know, if you could look at yourself and say, I'm the same Catholic that I was 10, 15 years ago, and I'm good with that. You shouldn't be. You should be becoming a better Catholic every week and every month and every year. It might be like watching a tree grow, but it should still be better. This is that growth in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it only comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. He is what makes our faith supernatural, but he is also the one who makes it real. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.